The Customer Service Revolution. Overthrow conventional business, inspire employees, and change the world. Author, John DeJulius III. Your biggest competitive advantage. Hundreds of organizations everywhere now seek to change the world by creating a customer service revolution. It's a major part of their business strategy, as they distance themselves from the competition. However, for it to be truly successful, it is critical that you understand what creating a customer service revolution really means. It means a radical overthrow of conventional business mentality designed to transform what employees and customers experience. This shift produces a culture that permeates into people's personal lives, at home, and in the community, which in turn provides the business with higher sales, morale, and brand loyalty, making price irrelevant. This unique concept consumes businesses, leaders, and entrepreneurs, energizes them, and ultimately inspires them to create breakthrough companies, products, services, and ultimately, experiences. Are you part of the crisis or the revolution? Strong economic times disguise a company's weaknesses. And too often, businesses with poor fundamentals can survive and sometimes grow for the short term. However, eventually, only the businesses built on the premise that employee and customer loyalty are their strongest assets are the ones that thrive and emerge as market leaders for the long term. These businesses realize that customer service is an investment, not an expense. The biggest influence on customer service in 50 years. Social media has turned customer service upside down. Today, more than ever before, customers are informed and empowered, and they expect personalization and quicker responses. Social media is a way to communicate with your customers, answer their questions, and respond quickly to their complaints. The Customer Rebellion. Customers have less patience and are more outspoken than ever before. Customers are no longer tolerating subpar service, indifference, and unempathetic businesses, and they are standing up for themselves. They won't take it anymore, which has resulted in the Customer Rebellion. Also, the internet and technology have made customers more demanding. And they expect information, answers, products, responses, and resolutions sooner than as soon as possible. It's about time. It's all about time, and the world of the internet has made everything instantaneous, from information and answers to questions to products in people's hands. Today, a friend can recommend a good book for you to read, and within 30 seconds, it's in your hands on your Kindle. There are companies like Zappos and other great retailers that can have a product at your door the next morning if you order it by 6 p.m. This has not only changed customers' expectations for everyone they do business with, but it has also changed their level of patience. Service aptitude. Service aptitude is a person's ability to recognize opportunities to exceed customers' expectations, regardless of the circumstances. No one is born with it. It's not in it. The vast majority of the workforce has extremely low service aptitude, especially when they are entering the workforce after finishing school. As a result of poor training and paranoid management, many employees, including management, don't have high service aptitude even after years of working. How to increase service aptitude. 1. Remove policy from your employees' vocabulary. This has become such a big issue. A crutch that reduces employees' service aptitude and causes them to sometimes make horrible decisions because they are afraid of going against company policy. 2. As a company, own up. Don't make excuses about why or how it happened. Just come out and say it was handled incorrectly, and that you'll make sure it never is handled that way again. 3. Use your resources wisely. Focus on the right things and messages you enforce. What you are saying to your employees and customers sets the mindset of what type of customer experience your company is trying to deliver. The pillars to the Starbucks Service Vision Statement. The four pillars to the Starbucks Service Vision Statement have to do with the company's key drivers of customer satisfaction. 1. Anticipate. This might mean that if the barista notices a customer is in a business suit at 6:05 a.m., ordering his coffee while barely looking up from his smartphone, he probably has some place to be. Get him his drink and help him get on his way. 2. Connect. A connection could be recognizing regulars and having their drinks ready for them, or it could just be a smile or a kind word. 3. Personalize. With over 80,000 ways someone can order a Starbucks beverage, you truly can have it your own way. 4. Own. Starbucks trusts its employees. They can own the experience. If a little girl drops her hot chocolate, a Starbucks employee can give her a new one for free. Each of these pillars is critical, but only in conjunction with each other. Customer Bill of Rights. 1. Point versus show. This is typically thought of in the hospitality business. However, in business-to-business and the call center world, pointing happens all the time. 2. A smile is part of the uniform. A smile is just as much as part of the uniform as anything else employees are required to wear. Everyone should have a smile, and it should be genuine. Secret Service System Implementation. Secret Service is the ability to obtain customer intelligence and utilize that to personalize the customer experience. It helps employees make a personal connection, which then creates an emotional bond between the customer and the company that transcends the product or service offered. Secret Service systems should not add cost or complexity to your organization. Customer engagement is a contact sport. Don't just tell your employees to be present or to provide genuine hospitality without telling them how. Make it black and white, and make it measurable. One of the best hospitality systems for making customer connection is the 5 E's. 1. Eye contact. This eliminates the head-down, uncaring, robotic feeling when the frontline employee just asks, "Next." 2. Ear-to-ear smile. Demonstrate a positive attitude and let the customer know that you are happy to serve them. 3. Enthusiastic greeting. Your greeting must demonstrate genuine warmth and not just a trained greeting. 4. Engage. Utilize any customer intelligence you can. Find info in a database, recognize a name badge, or do anything else that helps you contact with the customer. 5. Educate. This is one that may slightly affect time of service in industries that are built around rapid pace, such as fast food, and may have to have an above and beyond action when it is warranted, for example, a new customer unfamiliar with a menu. For the rest of us, it should have zero impact on productivity and be demonstrated every single time. Everything is our problem. Too many businesses take the "it's not our fault" approach when something goes wrong that a customer doesn't like. This mentality leads the business to punish the customer, which means you won the argument, but lost the customer. Relationship economy. Today, the only way a company can differentiate itself is through building relationships with people, employees, customers, and the community. It is a new era, and people are starving for relationships like never before. Emotional connection is the true value proposition. In his book Onwards, Howard Schultz shares insight on how Starbucks was forced to reinvent itself. Admittedly, it became overzealous for same-store sales, which eventually led to the watering down of Starbucks' experience and to what some called the commoditization of its brand. Schultz, the company's CEO, stresses that one of the keys to the famous transformational agenda was the customer experience in order to win back lost customers, doing the impossible. Every extraordinary accomplishment, invention, or revolution was not a result of someone giving his or her best. Somehow that person or group found a way to do what no one else could do. They did the impossible. The real issue is that it's not the effort that is in question at the moment or during the event. It's what you put into it leading up to it. It's all determined by the effort given in preparing for the event. Every match is determined long before the contest happens. So the next time you fail, before you want to make yourself feel better by saying, "I did my best," consider if you had given your best in the preparation. The actual effort given in the event has littlest to do with the outcome.